To Hong Kong now, and a worker from the British consulate in Hong Kong has been detained in mainland China after it's alleged he took part in the pro-democracy protests. It's been 2 weeks since Simon Cheung disappeared while visiting the neighbouring mainland city of Shenzhen. In a statement, the British embassy in Beijing said, "We are extremely concerned by reports a member of our team has been detained." Meanwhile, Hong Kong's beleaguered leader, Carrie Lam, is now offering, quote, open and direct dialogue with the protesters to find a way out for Hong Kong. Jamil Andolini is the Financial Times Asia editor, and I asked him what he knew about the missing man.
His name is Simon Cheung. He's a Hong Kong resident. He has a British national overseas passport, which is the strange passports that they gave out when Hong Kong was handed back from the UK to China. And those passports are not recognized in China, so he's not a full British citizen. He's actually from Hong Kong. So what happened is he went on August 8th, he was in Shenzhen across the border in mainland China, and on his way back, he was detained at the border when he was trying to come back to Hong Kong. And his role in the consulate is he's in charge of trade and development for Scotland. So he's working really as a trade and development officer. The suspicion is that he's been detained because allegedly that he joined some of these protests here in Hong Kong. So he's been detained since August 8th, the evening of August 8th. And his family has no idea exactly where he is. The British consulate here doesn't actually have the authority to provide him consular assistance because he went to mainland China using his Hong Kong ID, and Hong Kong being part of China, he's considered a Chinese national and treated as such. So he's basically been disappeared in mainland China for nearly 2 weeks.
And what have the Brits said about this? How concerned are they?
Well, the British government is obviously very, very concerned. The embassy has, since the story broke on Tuesday, the British embassy in Beijing has issued a statement saying they're doing everything they can. Unfortunately, it's quite difficult because he isn't a British citizen. Mm. They actually are not legally under sort of Vienna Convention. They're not allowed to provide consular assistance. And the Chinese government doesn't have to cooperate at all. They don't have to tell them really anything. Obviously, it puts the UK in a very difficult position because in China's state-controlled media, the propaganda is that all of the protests, the majority peaceful protests that we've seen in Hong Kong over the last couple of months, the propaganda out of mainland China is that these protests are all the work of hostile foreign forces, the black hand of the evil colonial imperialists like Britain and America. So it obviously puts the UK in a difficult position because the UK is trying to make clear to the Chinese government and the world that they're obviously not behind the protests that are happening here. It's a very genuinely grassroots movement. But at the same time, if some of their staff have allegedly joined some of the protests, it's quite difficult for them. And now that one of their government employees has actually been detained in China, they're in a somewhat similar situation to Canada, where two Canadian citizens have been held effectively hostage in the Chinese state security system for hundreds of days since last October.
Okay, well, let's turn to those protests that you're talking about there. Hong Kong's embattled leader, Carrie Lam, so she is offering, talks to speak to the protesters. Is this a genuine offer of, what should we call it, peace talks?
Well, there's a couple of things there. So Carrie Lam has steadfastly refused to engage with anybody on the side of these massive, massive protests. She's steadfastly, for the last 3 months now, refused to engage or to really compromise beyond temporarily withdrawing the extradition bill that kicked all of this off. Now, the other problem that she has, and that Hong Kong has is that this is a genuinely leaderless movement. This is a movement that's being organized on Telegram, on other social media apps. It is a true market of ideas where people, ordinary citizens, are sort of throwing ideas out into these chat groups. Good ideas are sort of rising to the top and people are kind of agreeing to follow them, and bad ideas are kind of just dying. So it's almost, as I say, a market of ideas on the side of the protesters, which frankly makes them much more nimble than the Hong Kong government or the Chinese government in Beijing, but also makes it very difficult to sort of get off on the off-ramp, because who do you talk to? There is no leader you can sit down who can then order their followers to cease and desist. So it's a very it's unclear who exactly Carrie Lam's going to sit down and talk to.
So, with more protests planned and this massive protest over the weekend, obviously, I mean, how long can this go on?
Well, you have some pro-Beijing legislators here in Hong Kong who are saying that the hard deadline for Beijing is October 1st. October 1st will mark the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. It's a very important date for Chinese President Xi Jinping. He wants this to go off without a hitch. He wants tanks and missiles rolling through the center of Beijing to be the main symbol of the day. He wants the whole global media to be saying, look at the power of China, look at how strong China is. If instead, the global media is focused on enormous protests down in Hong Kong on that same day, they would certainly overshadow this big parade that the Chinese president wants to hold. So many people here, pro-Beijing people, talking to their contacts up in Beijing, say that he will absolutely not allow the protests or unrest here to continue beyond that date, or even up before that date. It will have to be crushed before then.
So does that mean military intervention?
The serious implication is that at least the paramilitary from mainland China might be sent in to quell the, as I said, largely peaceful protests. I wrote in a column last week that I believe that from talking to people in the mainland, in Hong Kong, and having studied the history of the Tiananmen massacre and modern Chinese history, and covering China for 20 years, I believe that the chances of military or paramilitary intervention are greater than 50%.
And that's Jamil Andolini, the Asian editor for the Financial Times.